It is time for Jim Lynch with Cover Your Assets. Jim joins us every week at this time, and I'm not going to drop my iPhone. Jim, of course, is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, and politics. He brings over 40 years of experience to those subjects and more. Ladies and gentlemen, on a day after a New York Giants football win, here he is, Jim Lynch. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. Good morning, good morning.
It is a good morning. The Giants won.
Amen. Amen.
Two in the bank.
we got a lot to cover here today.
Yes, we do.
I would hope that you would all join me in sending your good wishes. And if you pray your prayers to the people of California, who, unlike the Giants, have had a terrible, terrible week. And I would just hope that we take 3,000-4,000 troops that are on the Mexican border, just putting a barbed wire, and send some of them to California to help in whatever way they may be able to help. We did have a good, we did have some outstanding news for our country. We elected a House of Representatives dominated now by Democrats, who will act as a cross check to, in my opinion, the madness that is going on in the executive branch. It was a terrific win for the Democrats. Not only the House membership, but seven governorships. And as Marshall and Jill have pointed out countless times, as we've talked about voting, the Democrats have taken a large amount of seats in state legislatures. So here's the thing. We asked that we win for the country last week. We ask now that those who are in office, newly elected, full of vim and vigor, take up the cause. And the cause is the United States citizens. The cause is health care, environmental, gun control, keeping us out of wars. We'll get into dealing with the crimes that have been committed before and after the presidential election. But let's deal first with our people, with us, and let's put the best foot forward on that.
Yeah.
Also, I would hope that the Democrats, they have wind at their back. The Senate is up for election in 2020 from the Republican side. Many of them are on the Judiciary Committee, which should be very, very subject to being questioned for some of the decisions they've made. Also, I do believe the House Democrats will put hopefully enough weight on the Republicans that they begin taking responsibility for the offices they were elected to and get off their duff and do things that help people, be in health care or whatever. That said, it was an outstanding win in the state of Arizona for the senatorship, and it was outstanding, in my opinion, as an American citizen, because not only did we have two women basically contesting, Christine Sinema won the Democrat side, but Martha McSally, who lost on the Republican side, gave a very lovely, lovely concession speech. And she wouldn't come out as the Trump administration wanted her to do as they were counting these votes and turn nasty and talk fraud and a lot of other nonsense. Rather, she was a gentlewoman. And both of these women will bring Arizona, I think, closer together as a group of citizens, as Sinema said, working for the people, working for the people, putting aside the rancor and the selfishness and the taking of bribes and being bought by the people of Citizens United.
You know, Jim, in that Arizona win, here's the interesting thing about that Arizona win.
They counted the votes?
Nobody's complained about the voting except for the president. Just like in Florida, none of the legal entities, all controlled by Republicans, complained. But getting back to Arizona, here's the very interesting thing. The Democrat who won is slightly different than the Republican who lost. The Democrat who won in Congress voted with the president about 62% of the time, which is fine. She goes across the aisle. But here's what most people don't realize, why this is such a big win for the Democrats. The person who was appointed to fill in for John McCain,
John Kyle,
he's going to decide whether or not he wants to stay there. He can decide not to stay there, and people are already thinking the Republican woman who lost, who is a very good candidate, by the way, will get that seat. They'll put her up for that seat, to run for that seat. There'll be a special election.
For John Kyle.
Yeah, for John Kyle's seat. Yeah. So that's
well, based on her performance, I would hope that transpires.
Well, I guess
we need to come together. Okay?
I guess just like the golden retriever in her in her piece.
Yeah,
huh?
but what's interesting about it is that so that could work out for both Arizona Republicans and for Democrats nationally. That could work out just absolutely fine, and I think
so. She won Flake's seat.
But
now the question is, who gets Kyle's seat?
That's exactly right.
Got it.
And she would be a perfect fit for that.
And the graciousness would go a long way.
Yeah.
And I would just like to remind. I mean, obviously Jim knows this, but most listeners and watchers, particularly, you know, if anyone listened to the Don Morrison piece, leading into Jim's show, that. Once you get off TV, once you get off social media, once you get to down to actual people, there's far more interaction, communication, understanding, and civility than the information that you are getting would lead you to believe.
All right,
That's all.
So that's what my input on. But as soon as you're done, Jim, I want to give some input and get your opinion on what happened on Veterans Day with the president and with the vice president. I'm not talking about what happened in Europe. I'm talking about what happened yesterday in America. But you go forward with what you want to talk about first.
Well, I have to start with here in America. I'm a veteran of a father who was a veteran and the brother of veterans. I find it appalling that the man who says he would be president couldn't show up at Arlington Cemetery yesterday, which is about 12 minutes away from the White House, to participate in a Veterans Day ceremony. This underscores his lack of loyalty to the United States Armed Forces by not being present at all the events in Paris. The president is obviously ignorant of history. The First World War was such a tremendous victory for the United States as they brought victory to Europe. The U.S. basically prevented Europe from being taken over by fascists and nationalists, and that we, on the 100th anniversary, did not celebrate for our people in the military and all the people in the military at that time is just incredible, incredibly bad, incredibly stupid, incredibly so unpolitical. It's very important that we all focus on the fact that we conceivably have someone who has or is or always was mad, namely President Trump. He's home now, and he's now mocking France's Second World War II record. It wasn't that great. There was a thing called the Vichy government, which was a government within France which allied itself with the Nazis. But the French resistance was an extremely important part of the war effort. We all worked together. That's how we won that war as well as the first war.
I'll just mention one name, Charles de Gaulle.
Amen. 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 So we'll give the president his due. He has not read. He doesn't understand. But, you know, we can no longer afford to have somebody like this in government when he's in charge as a commander-in-chief of dealing with our allies for our safety. General Mattis, in his cabinet, explained to him, as has been documented in books that have been written this year, when he complained, the President Trump, that is, that, oh, why are we spending all this money on NATO and this and that? And the general answered very, very definitely, it's to avoid a third world war. That's why it was created. Now, if you folks, and I know the ages vary, young to not so young, it would behoove you to periodically go on the British Broadcasting TV. It's out of New York, out of the U.S., but there's all kind of documentaries on everything under the sun. And one of the key things that I have been watching is the war and the rise of nationalism during the Second World War. And I'm going to say this, and it's not very pleasant, but it's time for us to stop being pleasant and trying to get out of our memory. The Second World War, and this one doc you was watching, shows you the Nazis and the way they used the citizenry who wanted to go against the Jews and basically took the property away from the Jews, made it impossible for them to live there, and if they did live there, they died. This is the exact playbook that President Trump has been allowing with these nationalist groups. So wake up if you're not awoken to the fact that we have somebody in office who, out of weakness or stupidity or deliberation, is trying to undermine our government. It was very telling that rather than stand with our allies, France and Britain, the only social smile was with Vladimir Putin. And folks, a lot's going to come out in the next month or so, and we're going to be flabbergasted by the tremendous criminal activity of this administration and many, many in the Republican Party.
All right. Now.
So fasten your seatbelt, but more importantly, please get our awareness up to 110%.
All right, I want to speak because I spoke to a couple of different veterans, and most of the veterans I spoke to, and I spoke to five of them, as a matter of fact, five different veterans, some from Vietnam, some from the Korean conflict, by the way. They could forgive, in the back of their minds, President Trump missing that, which he should have never missed. Actually, this is the 100th celebration of the American troops over in Europe, because there might have been something behind the scene that happened, whether it was political or what, they could forgive that. But they can't understand, and this is why neither President Trump or Vice President Pence, who were in the country, did not show up at Arlington. That really did hit a sour note with veterans across the board, why neither one. And Pence flew out to go to Japan later on in the day, and the president was in the White House. That I just don't understand. That boggles my mind that neither one showed up at Arlington. It's symbolic, but it's an important symbol.
Well, it's more than an important symbol. It's leadership. President Trump has been out using the military as pawns when he wants to run for office. How many times have we seen him at a military base in front of aircraft? But when it comes time to go abroad, he has never visited the troops in other countries where we are fighting or guarding. He's never done that. So if you were to say he would be a coward, I guess maybe you could say that, outright lazy because he does have time to do golf, or he just doesn't care. he is, shall we say, so self-centered that he can't get beyond his next tweet or his next television program.
Now, we
have a problem here, folks.
I
hope you realize that when Mueller and others come forward with what's going on, you don't accept that somebody's playing politics or it's fake news. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to look at what has been going on, that Washington Hotel, to make money.
I have to put this in perspective, Jim, and I've got to bring this up. I do have to bring this up. Under President Obama in his first term, the Democrats really did a lot of disservice to Barack Obama, and they didn't get everything pushed through when they had the majorities that they had and stuff. I hope that the Democratic leadership in the House, whoever it is, can organize the Democrats not to just go on the attack with everything that's going to come out from whatever probes, but also to legislatively get some things done. That's, to me, is more important right now, to show that the Republican legislature, with a commanding whole of the House and Senate, really did not accomplish a lot in the last 2 years. The Democrats in this 2 years, if they're smart, they can get a couple of things rammed through with some of the Republicans and
get
show
themselves elected. But it'd be very interesting, because politics being what it is, what you're going to hear, and this is like, that's not so much what you hear. You better like actually find out what's going on and pay attention to, you know, not top line politics, but what's really taking place. Because if you don't get something done, if you don't accomplish something in 2 years, I mean, you got to start running again in a year.
That's the whole thing. I just hope that they let Schiff's committee do what it has to do to rectify what was, which was completely destroyed. Let Mueller's probe unveil what it unveils. But please, Democrats, get some things pushed through Congress. Get some bills pushed through, because that's the only way you're going to hold on to your majority in 2 years. That's the only way.
Totally agree. And heavy lies the burden, the responsibility that the Democrats have taken on.
Mm-hmm.
There was a tremendous flavor of, let us save the government, let us save the country. Now it's time to live up to the responsibility. And it's very simple. Run the government, run the House as if you were going to be elected in 2020. And the way to do that is the way you won this election. You appealed to health care. You appealed to the environment. Let's get it done. We have enough committees. They can do it on their own and completely, but we must push on those who've been elected newly or reelected in the House to get it done. And if they don't get it done, the burden on them will be double what the burden would have been if they hadn't won these seats. So we wish them well. I'm certain they're going to do their best, but the key, I think I said this early, I don't remember, but Marshall has said it well, let's get the business of the people done.
And Jim, not only there, for the first time in, I think, 25 years, the governorships in this country are split almost evenly between Republicans and Democrats. And state legislatures, by the way, are now almost 50-50 split, Democrats in control and Republicans in control. And that's important. Why? Because redistricting is coming up for the next year and a half. And Democrats have a chance to redraw the lines in 50% of the states where there's been gerrymandering. And what's important about that is the 40 seats that the Democrats are going to gain on 7.5 million vote plurality over the Republicans this year nationally. Compare that when the Republicans, back when Newt Gingrich came into power, had only a $5.2 million vote margin.
$5.2 million votes.
They had 60. They had 60 of their people elected. because of the way the districts were drawn.
Right.
And this is a chance for the Democrats to even that out once again. But Jim, they got to work at it because they've got to show that they're going to work from the ground up.
Amen. Amen. Which is why back to McSally and Sinema in Arizona. They symbolize the future, which we must capitalize on. People working together.
Yep.
And congratulations to all of the brave women who've come forward and won. The Latinos, the black people, those of different gender.
American Indians.
It is a great tribute to them and a great tribute to the American democracy.
American Indians and Muslim women are now
Amen. Thank
seated.
You.
Yeah. All right.
All right, let's go. Giants, come on, let's get going.
Right.
Marshall finally got them going. Let's get them going.
That's right. Jim, we'll speak to you next week.
Yeah, have a great week.
Take care.
Bye.
Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets here on Robin Hood Radio. And once again, we remind you, all the opinions expressed on Cover Your Assets are those of the people that give them. They do not represent Tri-State Public Communications, Robin Hood Radio, CATV6, or any of the underwriters or volunteers.